Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation 3. In verse 20, the Word of God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Jesus here is talking about a door. Okay, we have doors. We deal with doors. And he says, my heart is essentially a door. And he knocks on that door. If I open it, then he will come into me. Isn't that kind of a strange way to put it? He doesn't say, I will come inside. He said, I will come in him. And I will sup with him and he with me. It's similar to the John 15, abiding. If my word abides in you and you abide in my word. You see, it's the same kind of an idea. And so he's saying, I open the door and knock. Now, frequently we hear that used as a soul winning type message. And it's got application for that too. I mean, yes, it does mean the person gets saved in some applications. But it means much more than that. It means that I have to open my door to God. Proverbs says, my son, give me your heart. It's an important thing that I do, that I open the door to God. It's very possible for me as a believer, as a human being, to not have that door open. And I say, God, I want you, but I want you at arm's length. I want to talk to you outside the door. Sometimes you knock on the door soul winning, and they want to talk to you through the door. They're not welcoming. They're a little bit afraid of you. They're kind of worried. What do you want? Are you trying to sell me something? Or are you dangerous, maybe? Are you from some weird group? Who are you? What do you want? And I'm a little bit afraid of you. Stay outside and I'll talk to you from in here. We can be like that as believers. We can say to God, stay outside and I'll talk to you from in here. Because we're a little bit afraid of him in the wrong sense. We're a little bit afraid to let go of control. We're a little bit afraid to take a step into the unknown, a step of faith. We're a little bit afraid, what will God do with my life if I yield it over to him? Will he hurt me? Will it be difficult? Will I suffer? And we're a little bit afraid, and we keep that door a little bit closed. It's like those chains they have on doors, and you can just open it a little bit. And the idea is, I mean, falsely, of course, because it's only a little chain held on by a screw. But it's like, if I keep the chain on there, the door won't open. And we're kind of like that too sometimes. If I keep the chain on there, it'll open just enough, but it won't open too much. And Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. And he knocks and he knocks. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, not just hears my voice, but hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. I'll come inside. He'll be spirit filled. He's going to be someone whose life is not his own anymore, and sometimes that's a little bit scary. You say, God, you told Peter, you know, you were going to go to places you might not want to go. And God, I have no desire to go to places I don't want to go. My desire is to go only to the places that I want, and sometimes my desire is to go nowhere at all, to stay right where I am because I'm comfortable right here. Thank you, God, I'm just fine. But that's not opening the door. If I don't open the door, he doesn't come in, and he doesn't sup with me. I may be saved. It's not saying I'm not saved. It's just saying that I'm not really in fellowship with him. I don't have a communion going on, and I don't know him very intimately because he won't come inside. It's important that we open the door. The only way for me to actually be spirit filled is to open the door. If I'm trying to maintain control, then I will not be spirit filled. It's always going to be my assessment, my opinion, my desire, my preference. It's like if I'm not spirit filled in my relationship with you, it's always going to be about me. My desire, my preference, what I like, my opinion, how does it affect me? Some of the most useless words in the English language. But yet, this is humanity. This is what we are like if the door is not open. If you don't give me what I want, I will be angry with you and I may react at you. If you do give me what I want, I will be happy with you. But there won't be any real love. There will be only circumstantial appreciation, but no Holy Spirit love if I won't open the door. In John 14:17, the Word of God says that the Spirit of truth cannot be known by the world. They cannot receive Him because it sees Him not. Nor can they know Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and He shall be in you. See, this is the open door. If He comes in, He's taken over. And this is what scares us. If He comes in, He's taking over. If I let go of my wants, my preferences, my personality, my insecurities, if I let go, if I deny myself, He's taking over. And that's a very uncertain place to the natural mind. And so I say, God, I want you in my life, but I want you on the other side of the door. I can open up, but make sure the chain is still on there. I can see you with the chain there. And it's okay if I can't experience you because you're a little bit scary. You see, you don't know the love of God. If that's the way you think, He's the least scary one out there. I'm scarier than God. You shouldn't fear me like you fear God, but I'm scarier than God. Not to you, but to me. I can't imagine. I'm in charge of my life now. Most people say that's a good thing. That's not such a good thing. I don't want to be in charge of my life. You know why? I have a sick head. I have a faint heart. There is actually no good thing in me. My heart is deceitful above all things, and I cannot possibly even know the extent of that. I don't want to be in charge of my life with those things to work with. I'd rather open the door and say, God, you take over. I'd rather open the door and say, God, you be in charge. Because you know all things and you're able with all things. And yes, I know this may take me to some places I may not want to go. But if I'm in charge, I'm almost going to guarantee you that I'm going to go to places I don't want to go. And then I won't have your provisions there. Well, kid dreams. It's interesting to talk to them. What do you want to be, kid? 10-year-old. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a pilot. I want to be something in their imagination. I want to be Superman. But they never say, I want to be mediocre. I really want to go nowhere in life. I want to stay in the same place, being the same way for the rest of my life. I've never heard that. But yet at the same time, as we grow up sometimes, that becomes our preference. We lose our ability to dream. And the reason why we lose the ability to dream is because fear becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And God becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And we stop dreaming. and you ask the person who's 45, 50, 55, 60 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they look at you like, that's quaint. And they've lost the ability to dream. The Word of God says, the young men shall dream dreams and the old men shall see visions. A vision is simply a matured dream. Can't lose your ability to dream, but many people do. I'm comfortable. I don't want to lose what I have. But Jesus said, if you give up things like family or homes or land, He said He'll give you 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. You're not actually giving up all that much. I've got my little bit. I've got my bowl of soup. And I don't want to walk away from my bowl of soup. I've got my cousin over there. I've got my mom or my dad or my siblings. I've got my kid. I can't leave my kid. Take them with you. Or if they won't come with you, just go anyway. I'm not saying you're going to end up very far away. You might. But you might not. What I am saying is you're going to go on an adventure, an experience that God will give you that you could not possess in any other way. But fear keeps you from it. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will sup with him. And if he opens the door, I will come into him. And that, of course, is referring to the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:5, the Word of God says, they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. If I'm after the flesh, I will mind the things of the flesh, and I'll keep the door closed and only open it enough to see, but not to open it, just to peek through, and I go nowhere. I can spend 80 years on earth and have accomplished nothing with God. And some people say, well, that's okay with me. And I say, that's not always going to be okay with you. You have this period of time. What do you want to do with it? I don't want to do anything with it. I'm just here, planted, rooted, and I'm just waiting, and someday I'm going to go home, and if I'm not bothered, I'll be happy. You can have that. You can have that. But you're taking a pittance. 10 years old. What do you want to be, kid? I want to be a pittance. I want my life to be just where it is right now for the rest of my life. Don't you want to be an astronaut, kid? No. I want to be right here. I want to have my television, and I want to have my easy chair, and I want to have my soda, and I want to be right here. And I'm perfectly fine with that. Kid, there's something wrong with you. Why is it that it seems strange with children but not with adults? Well, you have to understand, the reality of life is settling in. That's a demonic thought. It's like C.S. Lewis said in the Screwtape Letters. He said, a guy in the library is getting into a conversation about God. And the demon reminds him, time for lunch. And the person talking to him says, this is more important than lunch. And the demon says to him, you're absolutely right. Far too important to do it on an empty stomach. And he goes in the street and he sees a newsboy and a bus, and the newsboy and the bus remind him of the reality of the world and take him away from God. And then he's thankful that he is actually able to really see the reality of the world with the newsboy and the bus. What a small world to live in. Very small. It's like saying, I want to live inside of a marble. You're not going to go very far. You're not going to be very happy with that. You may be okay, but who wants to settle for okay? Let's go beyond okay. Let's go to places in Ephesians 3:20 that we couldn't even ask or think of. Let's go to things. Let's have lives that are so valuable and meaningful and purposeful that even in our wildest dreams, we could not imagine the immense value, the immense effect. People dream, I'm going to change the world, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to go into politics, I'm going to change the world. Now, is it that everybody who wants to change the world is going to be a lawyer and go into politics? That is the world. How are you going to change it if you're just like it? I'm going to change the world. I'm going to change the hearts of men by giving them the gospel. You have the ability to change the hearts of men. Mr. President, I don't care which president it is, I'll ask any of them. Mr. President, do you have the ability to change the hearts of humanity? Do you have the ability to pluck a soul out of hell and place it into heaven? You fight ISIS, but can you win ISIS? Probably not the whole group, but you might be able to win some. Well, if I go there, I'll get killed. I didn't say you necessarily have to be on the ground there. There's ways to reach the lost. Can you take a lost person and give them purpose and meaning and the things that are of substance? Or Mr. President, can you take a wounded heart and mend it? Well, I can help to make sure that they're provided for. Okay, you'll fill their belly, but can you change their heart? Since you call that changing the world. And to some extent we understand they do change the circumstantial world. But heaven and earth are going to pass away. Your television set is going to pass away no matter how much you consider it your altar. Your television set will pass away probably before you do. And then you're going to be left without a television. So what will you do? I'll go to the store and get another one. So you can look at the same thing. So you can have the same purpose. I would rather have it be like this. I'd rather the Comforter come inside. In John 15:26. He's the Spirit of God. And I'd rather he testifies to me of the Savior. Because in the Savior I find purpose. In the Savior I find hope. In John 10:9, the Word of God says, I'm the door, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, the best job in the world cannot guarantee me that. I may be making millions of dollars a year, but I can't say that that millions of dollars a year will save anyone at all. And though people can do some good things with that, I mean, I'm not denying that. But what does it matter if I have no purpose? You raised a nice family. Good for you. What does it matter if you have no purpose and if they have no purpose? See, here's the thing about the door. When we open the door, the Savior comes in. In Galatians 2:20, that makes me alive. Without that, I'm not actually living. But it makes me alive when the Savior comes in. It's like a lot of people without life. They're biological organisms, but no real life. I'd rather have a real life. I don't want my life to be 9 to 5 for somebody, some company, or even if it's my own company, for my whatever amount of money that I make with it. It's so little in life. In my life, I had the amazing ability to pay lots of bills. And I got this big house. I was looking at a program the other day, just for the fun of it, about houses, big houses, millionaires' houses. And sometimes I like looking at that because I find I don't actually like their houses. I don't. If I could have one of those houses, I would say, give me the money, you keep your house. I don't want your house. These big, opulent, 20,000 square foot houses or more. Some crazy numbers with pools and fireplaces and all these bedrooms everywhere. There was one that had no walls anywhere in it. A bedroom right in the living room. I mean, that's called an efficiency where I come from. But I mean, they had that, right? I was looking at this thing, and I thought, you know, I'm not that impressed. I wouldn't want to live there. It's some people's lives. They work so hard, and they go nowhere. But they do have this big house. Nice view. I never forget that little lady in Santa Cruz, Bombay. Old lady, lives in poverty. But man, she had such joy. And she lived in poverty. And she had such joy. She had so much love. And this lady was bubbling over with all the joy in her heart without her big house. Only lives in a what would essentially be little more than a tin can. But such joy. Because she opened the door and in came the Savior. And she asked communion and union and love of God just spilling right out of her. One of the sweetest people I've ever met. And such poverty, but such wealth. We can hold on to our own. We're really pretty good at it. The natural man is excellent in keeping what is his. But he stays alone. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, here's the thing. The fact that it abides alone and the fact that it bears much fruit are not actually opposites per se. It abides alone is really speaking of there's nothing in its life. We think of much fruit as like people will be in my life. They may be, but they may not be. And the two are not equivalent. In other words, there's no spectrum there where you're on the opposite sides. Much fruit is much love. If it falls into the ground and dies, it bears much love. It may be alone, it may not, as far as people go. But it bears much love. If I open the door, I can't be self-preserving. I have to be willing to go through that death process. Because that's where the Savior will take me, and that's where people become afraid. I don't want to die. He didn't say He'd kill you. He said He'd crucify your flesh. And really what He said is His crucifixion would be the experience of your flesh. But He didn't say He would leave you there either. He said, then he would resurrect you with him. And the life you have would be his life, which is really the only real life. It's his life. In Psalm 33:6, the word of God there says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the seas together as a heap, and layeth up the depth in storehouses. This is what it is like to have the life of God. It's beyond the ordinary, it's extraordinary. It's not painful. It's actually the one thing that delivers us from our difficulties. Jesus said he sent his word and he healed them in Isaiah 53. Sent his word and he healed them. By his stripes they are healed. You see, this is what it is when I open the door. I can't lose what I don't have. But here's the thing. We think that we're going to lose something when we open the door. What we don't understand is that until we open the door, we have nothing. I can't lose a life that I don't possess. A kernel of wheat sits on a table and it never grows. It never does anything. It's just this little kernel of wheat, just this little thing there. It's pretty meaningless. You'd sweep it up and throw it in the trash. But yet, that's what people protect. And they refuse to open that door. And God says, if I come in, then something special is going to happen to you. The heavens will be formed. And the breath of life will give you a life of your own. But it won't be your own life. It'll be his life in you. Something special is going to happen. Do we take God up on it? I think most people really are hesitant to do so because they're afraid. Let me put it very plainly. And please understand this. Fear steals your life. Fear steals your life. If people are fearful, it will steal their life. And people may say, but I am fearful. And I can't help it. And maybe they'll even say, I am fearful and I don't like it about myself, but that's simply where I am and I can't help it. Well, the answer to that is simple. Open the door. What do you think that Jesus will meet you with if you open the door? Because in 1 John 4, he is love. He'll meet you with the love of God. He'll meet you as you open the door. He enters in and meets you with his goodness. He enters in and meets you with his loving kindness. He enters in and meets you with his gentleness. He enters in and meets you with his joy. He enters in and meets you with his mind-numbing mercy. He enters in and meets you with life. But people protect themselves because instead of life, they want a television, if they were honest. They want a relationship with somebody to be maintained. They don't even get along with that person 70% of the time. But it's a comfortable place for them. But there's no life there. There's no joy there. There's no peace there. There's no purpose there. There's no meaning. So many people look for significance and turn to the places where none exists. And then if they can't find it, it becomes very disturbing to them. But it doesn't exist in the places where they're looking. It's like I went to the donut shop and I couldn't find any tires. But the donuts are round. And tires are round. But they don't have tires in a donut shop. Don't you understand? No, there must be tires in the donut shop. But this is how people live their lives. They look for things of God in places where God doesn't put them. Here's the beautiful thing. If someone simply opens the door, God brings them to them. They don't even have to look for them. God just brings them to them. And they have these things. But the door is kind of funny. It's not found in any self-preservation. It's found at the cross. That's my door. Actually, it's not the door. It's the key to the door. Faith is the door. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, faith is the door. And the cross is a key. What does the cross lead me to? The love of God. It leads me to the love of God. The love of God is what opens the door. The cross has to turn in my life. Turn my life. And the love of God opens the door. And all of a sudden, you find a life with purpose and joy and meaning, value, significance, love. You find a life that is satisfying and fulfilling. It could be that you never even leave your house, but you have found life because it was brought to you by the one who entered in. So we can keep the door ajar with our little chain. Jesus, I see you, but don't come too close because you're scary. And Jesus says, you don't know me. It's far scarier if he's on the outside and I'm on the inside. It's much, much more comforting if he's right there inside with me. Much more comforting. But this little element of self-preservation is really nothing more than self-deception. Because there's nothing to preserve. If I had a vault full of gold, maybe I would have something to preserve. But what if I have a vault full of air? And that's all that's in my vault. And that's like the person who lives in self-preservation. They think they have a vault full of something, at least a little thing in there. But the fact is, they have nothing in their vault. And they're very concerned about preserving that nothing. But you know what? The door opens and the riches of God's grace come in. Riches. Tremendous wealth. A response of faith. And a life I couldn't even imagine. And its quality and its value. No, maybe you'll never leave your house, like those two ladies in New England who were infirm and they were unable to leave their house, but they could pray and they were satisfied in prayer, and man, did their prayers get answered. People got saved all over the world. Scores of thousands upon thousands, really probably millions of people got saved all over the world. Because those two ladies had an open door, even though their body couldn't move. And man, did they have value and impact. and quality and significance. Your significance comes in this: the Savior living inside of you and the door being opened to Him. That is human significance. Your significance does not come in your flesh, and it doesn't come in another person, and it doesn't come in a place, and it doesn't come in a thing. Your significance comes in this: the door was opened and God brought in significance and value and joy and purpose and meaning and satisfaction and contentment and loving kindness with tender mercies and the goodness of God. What kind of a cake is that? Not bad. Amen.